Good morning, everyone. I'm John Myrie.
And I'm Art Malin.
And welcome to the Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. On this week's show, we're talking with Hayward Area Fishing Guide Eric Tuohy down at Hayward Bait and Bottle. And then Art had a chance to talk with Paul Crystal out at the LCO Conservation. And lastly, we have some great walleye tips for you from walleye tournament pro Gary Parsons. Lots to cover on this week's show, all coming up right after these messages.
Hayward Power Sports features Sun Tracker, the world's best-selling pontoons. During the Gear Up for Summer promotion, get a 20-foot 2017 Sun Tracker Party Barge DXL and claim a $2,000 Bass Pro Shop gift card. It could be party central for as little as $272 a month. It's loaded with seating for up to 10, swim platform, ample storage, quick lift bimini system, 60-horse Merc 4-stroke, and a 10-year warranty. Plus, find the rest of the Tracker family with guaranteed pricing at Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
Riding along in my automobile.
Bumping into things unexpectedly? Make your first choice for collision repair. Ernie's Auto Body, featuring the most advanced collision repair facility in northwest Wisconsin. With a state-of-the-art spray bake-down draft paint booth for that better-than-new finish, laser technology for precision frame alignment, loaner cars available, computerized estimates, written guarantees, and documented unmatched customer service, the clear choice is Ernie's Auto Body, south of Hayward on Highway 63 and Nursery Road, where quality is no accident.
Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering welcomes you to stop in for their great lunch menu, and you can enjoy your lunch right out on their deck. Lynn's also has fresh cut-to-order steaks, as well as a great selection of brats and sausages for those great summer cookouts. Lynn's also has a variety of snack sticks, jerky, cheese curds, and much, much more. Lynn's is open Mondays through Fridays from 9 to 5:30, Saturdays 9 to 4, and Sundays 10 to 3. Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering in Hayward.
Summer's hot and so are the prices on our entire pre-owned inventory at Timber Ford of Hayward. Hi, I'm Amy Belkey and I invite you to visit us and save big on this summer's hottest deals. Like our 2011 Hyundai Sonata in excellent condition and only $94.85, or our 2008 Chevy Suburban priced to sell at $19,995. Check out our 2012 Jeep Liberty Sport, only 70,000 miles and a low price of $15,995 or only $280 a month. Hurry in for huge savings at Timber Ford.
We're recording this week's show down at Hayward Bait and Bottle. And Art, you know, the weather's been a little bit more stable. We've had a few storm fronts going through. But, you know, the fishing seems to have been up and down like a yo-yo.
It seems to be that way, John, and it probably continues to be that way. This recording will come out in a week, but today... Yesterday it was 49 degrees at my place. That does change fishing a little bit.
Yeah, that does. We've got Eric in here from Hayward Bait and Bottle. And Eric, I know you've probably been out on the water too, and then you've been down here. What are you seeing and hearing?
Well, fishing has, like you said, has been a little bit of a roller coaster, but we have seen kind of some of our most stable conditions, at least leading up to this storm front that we just had, probably all season in my opinion. But guys have been doing okay though on the musky front. A little bit of walleye action out there, smallmouth fishing still holding pretty strong, and regardless, guys are getting out.
I noticed when we had that hot spell came through, and just before that storm front, we had the fishing really kind of slumped down there, and it seemed like my locator really lit up. There was just a lot of bug hatch going on there at that time.
Yeah, you know, we saw some bodies of water, 82 degree, you know, surface temperatures. So it got definitely warm, and the bug activity was going, and of course the mosquitoes, our other state bird, is prevalent once that sun hits, you know, drops down. But you know, with that, it can bring a little bit more technical fishing.
I think the other thing is, if you're going to fish in the evening, just wait till it's dark and then the bugs will be gone.
Yeah.
You just have to get through that little twilight period.
Yep, exactly.
Well, you know, the panfish, and there's been a lot of people after panfish, and that's been pretty consistent. The crappies are deeper on a lot of lakes, but it seems like that's been one of the most consistent things.
Yeah, you know, I heard some good action up north, you know, some of the more mid-lake structures. Guys were finding panfish, you know, crappies and bluegills, just a touch deeper than maybe what you traditionally do. If you, you know, you could always go and hit the pad edges too. And, you know, I was using some surface little poppers and grasshopper flies and stuff. And every once in a while, you find a really nice bluegill in there too.
You know that you can also find some nice bass that way, because you throw something small out there. This time of the year, I think smaller poppers are better than big poppers. I don't know why.
Yep. Yep.
It just seems to work that way.
Yep.
Been finding most of the crappies I've been finding on like the Chippewa flowage, 18 to 23 feet. Walleye fishing actually have had really good success with on the Chippewa flowage. I've been getting a lot of walleyes almost every evening in the weeds. A lot of them are small undersized, but we're getting enough keepers too.
Yeah, that's great. You know, I was out not too long ago on the flowage as well, and found a nice walleye, you know, 9 feet of water right in along with the weeds, you know, where you might find a muskie or a bass or pike. But yeah, it's definitely held pretty strong, at least out there too.
You know, we did need this cool down too, because with that water temperature you mentioned earlier, it was 82-83 degrees. That's getting too hot, and we needed to bring that down. You know, a lot of different things will be coming up here. I know I've seen in the paper now they're having that Treelands Fly Muskie Tournament at the end of September too. I suppose you're going to fish that, huh?
Well, I might be working at least one of those days, unfortunately, but I'm going to be helping Treelands and Tatum down there, you know, promoting it, of course, and maybe show up one of the evenings and see how the anglers are doing and seeing what the board shows. But yeah, it's a great outing for anyone that does do the fly fishing for muskies. If you're new to the sport, it'd be a great way to, you know, meet some folks, maybe get some tips and pointers too. Treelands does an outstanding job of hosting it, so they're gonna have, you know, room and board, and they do a meal, you know, for the anglers as well, you know, part of your entry fee. But it's great to see what that time of the year will bring, and having anglers in their success, and, you know, having a little, you know, board with you know, the biggest catches or what was caught that day. And it's a camaraderie thing, no doubt.
Well, just like the Muskie's Egg Tournament, and that'll be coming up right after that in a week or so.
Yeah, October, first weekend in October.
So, you know, there's a lot of things that'll be coming up, and I know you're guiding through the whole season, right?
Yeah, yep. Going to be running some trips well into the fall. Also going to have a pretty neat little thing through Treelands as well. Big muskie bash late in November, which is, you know, far into the future. But some of the area guides just kind of showcasing what we can utilize as tactics out on the flowage for that late, you know, early November, late fall season time frame. And they're going to be doing, there'll be some guides available for booking, but also kind of speaking based on some seminars and stuff like that, and that's held through Treelands, so you can get in touch for more info on that too.
That's interesting.
Well, good deal.
You know, we're gonna have to take a break around and hear from some of our sponsors. Eric, I want to thank you for coming on here.
Oh, thank you for having me, John.
Yeah. And Art, we're going to take a break right now, and we've got an interview coming up that you had with Paul Crystal, I believe it is. So we're going to take that break, and we'll be back right after these messages.
Get ready for fishing this year at Hayward Bait and Bottle. They have a huge selection of lures, rods, reels, tackle, boating supplies, live bait, and much more. In the bottle shop, they also have a huge selection of beer, wine, and liquor. And if you're looking for that new dock or boat lift for your lakefront this year, stop in at Hayward Bait and Bottle and check out the quality ShoreMaster lineup. For over 40 years, ShoreMaster has covered the waterfront with world-class docks designed to help people enjoy their waterfront experience to the fullest. Get more dock for your dollar with ShoreMaster at Hayward Bait and Bottle in Hayward.
The Hayward Lakes Visitors and Convention Bureau in Sawyer County, Wisconsin welcomes you to our Northwoods hometown. No matter the season, no matter the activity, you'll always be surrounded by our great outdoors. What more could you ask for in a vacation destination? Woods, waters, world-class events. Contact us for information on lodging, dining, attractions, events, trail conditions, and more. Order your free vacation guide and start planning your getaway today. Visit us at haywardlakes.com or call 1-800-724-2992.
Hayward Power Sports provides you the ultimate fishing experience with Lund Boats. Lund's exclusive IPS hull provides precise boat control and a soft, dry ride, no matter how rough the water is. Add in Lund's state-of-the-art live wells, ultra-comfort seats, and ample storage, and you're ready to fish like a pro. Plus, Lund Boats hold their value like no other. I'm Johnny, and I want to show you the ultimate fishing experience with a Lund from Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77. Or call us at 715-462-3674.
Big fish stories come to life at the Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame. The world's largest shrine to the freshwater angler boasts a 4.5-story tall walk-through muskie that's a half a city block long.
It's like taking a peek into Granddad's old tackle box with thousands of mounted fish, antique outboard motors, and historical sport fishing artifacts. Stop in and take a chance on a 2017 $18,000 Alumacraft boat powered by a 50-horse Mercury outboard sponsored by John's Motorsports in Hayward. See the big ones that didn't get away at the Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame, Highway 27 and B in Hayward. Open daily from 9:30 a.m. till 4 p.m.
If you'd like to have your time fishing be more enjoyable and productive, hiring a fishing guide can be a good investment. Whether it's learning more about fish patterns throughout the year, learning how to use your depth finder to find the best spots and fish, learn how to use that GPS to get the most out of it, or learn better boat control. A day on the water with a guide can really help you to be a better angler, as well as make a day on the lake very enjoyable. To book a guide trip this year or get more information, call myself, John Myrie, at 715-462-9402. Or Art Malin at 715-865-2336. Or you can find us on the internet at www.wiscnorthlandoutdoors.com. And then just click on Area Guides.
Welcome back to another segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. Myself, John Myrie, and co-host Art Malin. And Art, I know you had a couple of interviews here in the last couple of weeks. You had another one here I want to run. You had with, I believe it's Paul Crystal.
Yeah, Paul Crystal is the chief fish biologist or biologist at the LCO Conservation Department. And Paul's been around for quite a while. I didn't realize this, but Paul works for LCO and his wife works for the DNR. So that's kind of interesting. They're both involved in that kind of work.
So let's hear what he had to say in that interview. When we come back, we've got another interview and more on your outdoors.
Spending some time this morning with Paul Crystal, who is the fisheries biologist for LCO. A young man who's worked here since 2004, and his primary responsibility is for, I would say, replenishing a resource. Do I say that right? Partially.
Yeah, we're a good agency for filling the gaps of stocking needs where they're required year to year.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the plantings this year first, what you did, and then we'll go into your new project, which is a replacement of your current ponds.
Okay, I don't have very impressive numbers to speak to you right now about. We're kind of in a recovery stage. This year, for example, one of our ponds is out of production because there's going to be some construction being done around there. And we're kind of on the downswing of our production due to some facility issues that have kind of accumulated over the years.
Okay.
So the numbers we have from last year are quite on the low side. We stocked about 5,400 extended growth walleyes, those 6 to 8 inch ones, and 270 extended growth muskies.
Okay, now these fish that you're planning, are you planning them on the reservation lakes or in the reservation lakes, or does it vary?
It does vary. Really, anywhere in the ceded territory is, you know,
your territory,
quote unquote, up for grabs.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But we definitely have a tiered system where we focus on the lakes that LCO harvests mm-hmm. first. So we mainly operate within Sawyer County. We creep into Washburn County and even Rusk sometimes. But
okay. For those of you who don't know, the tribe has a spearfishing program in the spring of the year, and it's controlled by the tribe in Glyphwick. The number of fish taken, the sex of those fish, et cetera, et cetera. And 80% of the fish that they take, walleyes that is, are male. So now, you talked about the fact that your planting is a little bit low, and there's a reason for that. And you've addressed that reason by obtaining a grant to do what?
Yeah, our current ponds are, they're the earthen type ponds with clay liners. So as those ponds have aged, the clay liners have sort of sloughed in and settled, so we're not as able to, we can't fill the ponds as high as they were originally designed for, because there's just not clay up there to hold the water in anymore. We've had a lot of encroachment with vegetation and cattails. We're losing, our edge is creeping in on us. So we've sort of developed a hatchery atmosphere where we have shallower rearing space, leading to higher temperatures, higher predation from animals, and that shallower water encourages even more vegetation growth, which leads to all kinds of problems for us, impeding harvest of the fish and resulting in some variability in the growth of the fish, you can imagine when you provide any fish with a habitat where they can hide, they will. Mm-hmm. So instead of being out actively foraging, you'll encounter some fish that just take on a more hiding behavior. And then you'll have our forage minnows doing the same thing, hiding in those cattails and being less accessible to being eaten. So that all results in a little more variability in the growth of the fish. Where we're at now is, after years and years and years of trying to find funding for pond construction, which has not been easy. It's easier to find funding for fixing this thing or that thing, but actually constructing ponds has been an issue for us. Right now, we're in a contract with the Natural Resource Conservation Service for the construction of 4 new half-acre lined ponds. Now, these are the more state-of-the-art, if you will, poly-lined ponds, so there won't be any vegetation. All the space in the ponds is completely usable, and come time to harvest, those ponds drain down into cement basins called catch kettles. So instead of chasing fish around and stirring all this stuff up and having variable water conditions, the fish will be basically flushed down where we can get them, net them out, put them on the truck. And the whole process there will be much less stressful for the fish and the workers and quicker.
If you're going to be doing this, it's going to cost something. How do you pay for it?
NRCS is covering a great deal of it. Their funding trickles down to an organization called WITCAC, which is funding available to tribes. That funding source is covering probably 80% of the project, and the remainder of that is being made up through the Bureau of Indian Affairs, which funds our year-to-year operations as well.
You're looking at $500,000 or more?
It could go as high as $700,000.
But it's being bid out right now.
Yeah, we're working right now, getting some clearing and excavation work done this year and a high-capacity well put in, and we're hoping to finish off the rest all next year with the actual all kinds of guts, all the piping and electrical. And
do you plan on having the ponds dug this year or next year?
Probably next year.
Probably next year. So you're looking at really a two-year project in a sense in terms of timing to come up with new harvest fish available.
Yeah, it'll be not next year, but the year after, correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What do you anticipate being able to produce in the future, like in walleyes? Is there a number that you would look for, even and or muskie?
Yeah, the way our production has been, we've experienced sort of a curve where, you know, back in 2004 or whatever, when I came on, I had ideas and things, and we increased production a great deal. I think the best we've ever done was around about 32,000 extended growth walleyes. Mm. That's just everything firing perfectly. Mm-hmm. More typical is 12,000 to 15,000 if we're just raising extended growth walleyes. So with this new pond setup, we expect to about triple our production capacity. And you mentioned muskies. One thing that this will allow us to do is to more easily meet our walleye goals, freeing up more production of muskies. We've had to sort of do muskies on a as-we-can type basis. We've maybe done muskies every probably 3 years on the average, every 2 or 3 years. Otherwise, we're just trying to get as many walleyes as we can.
It sounds like a neat project, and I hope it's going to be very successful, to say the least. Now, if somebody wants us, let's say some interested person wants to know, where is the LCO hatchery? Would it be easiest to say drive down CC to Tiger Muskie, turn in and hit the T, and then turn left on Jassic?
That's where it is. It's there on the south side of the flowage. We're not a facility like Tommy Thompson or somebody where we don't have a visitor center or anything. We're just kind of out there working.
Right.
So if someone wants to come find out information or something, they probably have more luck coming to the Conservation Department office.
Okay, what's your number here?
634-0102.
And they can ask for Paul Crystal, or they can ask for maybe Dan Tyrolt, or...
Sure. And we're just a half mile south of the casino.
Thank you so much for taking your time. And if anybody has any interest in what Paul's doing and what LCO is doing, contact that number. They're available. They got a lot of stuff that they can tell you. Thank you.
Thanks.
Well, Art, that was an interesting interview you got there. We need to take a break right now and hear from more of our fine sponsors. We come back, I've got another interview and a wrap-up on the show.
Check out OC Outfitters for all your fishing, hunting, and camping needs this year. They're ready to get you out on the lake with everything from rods and reels to licenses and live bait. Come see their Columbia clothing for men, women, and children. They have a full line of shirts, rain gear, shorts, and jackets, and they have new rifles, shotguns, and handguns to choose from. New this season, a propane filling station. That's OC Outfitters, 4 miles east of Hayward on Highway B, open 7 days a week. Phone 715-634-1044.
Are you in need of marine service? If so, call Earl's Marine, located on County K between the Big Lakes. Earl's Marine is a local Johnson Avenue authorized sales and service representative. Need a boat lift? Earl's Marine handles shore station. Need a boat or a pontoon for a few days? Just call for rental information. Since 1966, Earl's Marine has provided outstanding marine service to this area. For outstanding service, open 7 days a week for sales with a mechanic on duty Monday through Friday. Call Earl's Marine today at 715-634-4783.
Attention pet owners! Dr. Ostrander is excited to announce the addition of veterinarian Dr. Abby Stoll to the staff of Hayward Animal Hospital. Dr. Abby comes from a family with a strong veterinarian tradition. Her grandfather, brother, and cousin are all veterinarians, and her father is an elk biologist. She has a passion for animals. Dr. Abby is intelligent, experienced, kind, and compassionate. Come meet this extraordinary woman at Hayward Animal Hospital, located on Highway B.
Welcome back to the last segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. Myself, John Myrie, and co-host Art Malin. And Art, I'm going to jump into another interview real quick because this is an interview I've used before, but it's Gary Parsons, who's a big walleye tournament pro and TV guy that does it Next Bite TV, talking about walleyes and some of the things, maybe a couple good tips in there. Talking to Gary Parsons, what's the most important thing you can tell people about catching walleyes or finding walleyes or what?
Well, you know, I think when people struggle in catching walleyes, it's because in many cases they're fishing in places where the fish are not. I don't know why walleyes are as traditional as what they are. I mean, when I say tradition, if your grandfather showed you a fishing spot, usually your dad went to the same fishing spot, and then you go to the same fishing spot. Well, walleyes aren't like that. They have fins and tails and they swim, and a good area can be a good area, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's good every single day. And I think that's the biggest mistake a lot of people make, is they don't look for the fish enough. You know, if the fish aren't deep and you think they should be deep, that's you thinking they should be deep. They might not be deep. They may be up shallow eating something that you don't even know about. And so I think that one of the coolest challenges about walleyes is finding them. Once you find them, they're normally not all that tough to catch in most cases. I mean, they can be in July and August, you know, they like to suspend and stuff. But other times of the year, you know, finding them seems to be the key. And you just got to move around and use your electronics to do that. Or if you're fishing shallow, you got to pitch a lot of jigs. I use a lot of jigs and plastics in northern Wisconsin, and I fish them fast. I don't fish jigs and minnows hardly at all anymore, because I'm always looking for that shallow bite. When you find them shallow, you're gonna catch a lot of them.
Well, you know, walleyes are a predator, and a lot of people don't think of them as a predator, but they are a predatory fish, and you know, a lot of things determine where they're gonna be. It can be temperature, it can be the type of habitat, the forage. Mostly, I think the forage and the temperature are the big key things, but you know, there's a lot of factors to determine where you're gonna find those walleyes, and you gotta keep moving until you find that.
You definitely do, and it really, especially in the northern Wisconsin lakes, John, as you know, probably one of the most overlooked areas are the edges of bogs, like you see in the Chippewa Flow Edge. There's a lot of smaller lakes up there that are like that, little deep water next to the bogs. The bog edges have so much tangled roots and debris that they're real snaggy, and so people avoid those areas, but honestly, there's a lot of fish in those areas. And so right now, one of the first places I go to is on the deeper edge bog edges. I use weedless jigs though, you know, and that's where a lot of guys don't. I like to use a weedless jig. There's a jig that I found on the Mississippi River. It's called the Bee Dragon Jig. It's made by Bee Fish and Tackle. It's called the Dragon Jig. And this thing is like unbelievable. It's got a longer shank hook, and you don't hardly ever get it snagged. And it's perfect for fishing these bogs. If I can take a conventional roundhead jig pitched to a bog edge and I'll get it snagged every time, I'll be able to cast 150 times with this jig and not get it caught up. So that's one of my little secret deals in these northern Wisconsin lakes is fishing a lot of that bog edge. But it's got to be, for me personally, I'm finding the fish a lot more where there's, you know, 4, 5, 6 feet of water right next to the bog edge. Those are the best spots. So I think those fish go right into those roots.
You fishing faster or slower around that stuff as far as your presentation?
I fish pretty fast. I fish jigs and plastics. And, you know, I like to use as light a jig as possible so it doesn't fall real fast. It sounds kind of funny. I fish fast, but then I use a light jig right. So it doesn't fall fast. What that does is that slow fall gives me 2 or 3 hops along that edge. And then I don't really always work it all the way back to the boat on the bottom. I just buzz it back in, and then I cast right in that fish zone again.
Well, he's interesting to hear anytime I can get him cornered. How about you, what you got going there?
Well, the thing, we talked about a week ago, John, about the fact that the program that the Tommy Thompson hatchery has going, the extended growth walleye program that was initiated by our governor. This year, it didn't work out very good, and we wondered why last week. Remember, we were talking about it. Well, the reason was apparently the commercial people that were providing the bait, the food for these extended growth walleyes couldn't provide it or didn't provide it or wouldn't. Who knows what happened? But what they had to do then is plant these fish at 3 to 4 inches long at not a good time of the year.
Well, high temperatures.
High temperatures doesn't help. But the only thing good that you can say about it is next year there'll probably be more money available for that program.
Yeah, I know that there was some of them, one of my customers I was guiding watched them put some in Boat Harbor out at Treelands, and the water temperature in that little harbor was over 80 degrees. So I hope that they survived and hope we get a good result out of that. I want to talk about another thing, too, is to start thinking about fall because, you know, as we hear this, man, I'll tell you what, we're only a few weeks away now from some of the early hunting seasons starting up.
Do you think it's short? Yeah, I think it's short.
Summer's too short, Art.
The other thing that's happening right now, John, is that hummingbirds are really feeding voraciously. They're kind of fattening up because they got to fly down to South America. Now, can you imagine the hummingbirds that were born this year know how to fly down to South America? That's incredible. They don't fly on some animal's bird's back. They fly themselves.
Well, what's even more amazing to me is that, you know, the loons, you have the young loons get left behind by the parents when we get into the late fall, and somehow they still know how to go head south for the Gulf Coast.
Well, they don't quite make it that far. They go to Lake Michigan, for crying out loud, by Michigan.
To get a little stronger.
There'll be thousands of them out there. It's incredible. Then they eventually fly down to Florida, and they stay down in Florida for about 3 years, and then they come back when they're sexually mature.
I think they're all along the Gulf Coast, aren't they, down there?
Primarily the Florida coast is one of the big spots.
You know, anyway, one last thing here to talk about. I know there was a big ruling on that wolf thing here, and that's still a question. We had a little discussion and argument about that. It still leaves it up for grabs. They're still going to be protected, it looks like.
Yeah, they'll be protected, but I think what's going to happen is that the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is going to come out with a program that's going to be available to take care of those wolves in certain areas. Currently, if you try to stop something, a wolf situation, every wolf in the United States is affected. But now they're going to change that a little bit.
You know, the HSUS claims that because that we don't have enough wolves to not overrun with them up here, there's not enough of them to go down farther south. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, but it happens, John.
Well, you know, anyway, let's hope they get done. I know there's a couple of congressmen, including Sean Duffy, who's trying to pass some legislation that would eliminate these courts being able to make these ridiculous rulings.
And I think Senator Johnson was on the same side, so they're both in the same, you know, they're both thinking the same way, but this is minuscule when you consider the United States budget.
Oh, yeah, you bet. I suppose they got lots of other things to think about. Anyway, we're out of time for this week. Art, you know, have you got any last-minute messages here?
The only thing I can say is if you have children, take them out fishing. Create a little fishing monster.
Get them outdoors. Get them outdoors away from their phones and iPads and everything else. Anyway, we're out of time for this week, folks. I want to remind you, if you miss a show, that you can always get that show on our website. There's a link to our podcast site. And we're out of time for this week. We'll see you again next week.
Me, I'm going to take you there to our Wisconsin Outdoors, our Wisconsin Outdoors.
This program has been produced and hosted entirely by Wisconsin Northland Outdoor Communications. Any and all views expressed are not necessarily those of the station.